Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And speaking of the college students, actually six of them accompanied Mr. Stephen Fleury up to Toronto, Canada yesterday for his personal appearance campaign with Philadelphia Trumpet subscribers there. And they'll also be traveling down with him today to North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, for another campaign this evening. So we'll have some more news on that, I'm sure, next week. A lot of great things are happening with these personal appearance campaigns. Plenty of people who have had familiarity with the Worldwide Church of God or have been reading the literature and reading the magazine for many years, watching the TV program, and they're trying to really make a commitment. They're really taking these messages to heart, taking inspiration from them and immediately trying to apply them. So that's really exciting. Well, today we're going to talk about proofs of God's work. There's a really informative, interesting article that I read recently. This is from the January 1994 Philadelphia Trumpet. It's written by Mr. Stephen Fleury, and it's titled, "How Important Is It for You to Support the Right Work?" This is just a really important subject, and obviously for a show like Behind the Work, like you're listening to right now, this is really important information. This is probably a subject that almost nobody in the entire world understands. And it's important to realize there is just one true church. Now, that even that is seen as controversial to most people. The fact that you can't just go down to any Christian church on the street corner and start attending services there if you're hoping to actually follow God. There's only one true church. You can see that in Matthew 16, verse 18, where Christ says that he established his church. It doesn't say that he established a bunch of different churches with a bunch of different beliefs. And even just think about that. If there's all these different Christian denominations, probably, I believe there's thousands of different denominations as far as just having different sets of beliefs. How could that really match up with the truth? Christ doesn't have tens of thousands of conflicting doctrines. The doctrines have to actually match what's in the Bible. And only one church is actually upholding all of those doctrines that God expects. So there's only one true church. And it's also vital understanding to have that the church isn't inward focused. This is the very first paragraph of this article from Mr. Stephen Fleury. Again, that's from the Philadelphia Trumpet of January 1994, and it's titled, "How Important Is It for You to Support the Right Work?" Mr. Fleury writes, "Just what is the purpose of many modern religions? What is their work? How many religions do you know of that have a very clear, distinct objective, a plain, easy to understand work or commission? The modern religious scenario typically consists of getting as many people saved as possible and investing all church contributions toward a massive church building or toward church activities." So basically what he's saying there is that every other church besides the one true church is focused on saving the world right now. Even that goes against God's perfect timing. God isn't trying to save all people right now. And there's proof of that just in what Jesus Christ did the first time he came to this earth. Matthew 13 shows how Christ spoke in parables. He spoke in stories that the masses could not understand. And then Christ even explained to his disciples that he spoke in parables specifically so they couldn't understand. Why would he do that if he were actually trying to save the entire world at his first coming? That is something that really nobody else understands. That's why so many Christian churches today have missions. They have missionaries. They send people around the world to basically try to preach the gospel to people that have never heard about Jesus Christ before. And they're trying to get those people to accept Christ and be supposedly converted on the spot and be saved on the spot. Christ himself wasn't even trying to do that, and yet Christian churches today are. Now, of course, they don't understand the truth, and they will very soon. This is not to be hateful toward them, but it just shows that the focus is all wrong, an inward focus with all these other churches. John 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." So really, it doesn't have anything to do with human effort. God is the one who opens human minds and gives them the opportunity to obey him. He's not trying to force people. He's not on a soul-saving crusade. Mr. Fleury writes here, "Can you imagine Christ intentionally allowing himself to be misunderstood if he was only concerned about saving as many people as possible? Not once in the teachings of Jesus do we ever find him pleading with or begging individuals to be saved." Right? Because even Christ knew it's only God the Father, not even Jesus Christ, who can call people. Here is another quote from Mr. Fleury. "If Jesus didn't come just to save all of mankind, why exactly did he come? Jesus came with a message to proclaim." Notice Mark 1, verse 14. "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Mr. Fleury continues, "Jesus was sent to preach or proclaim a message, a tremendous news announcement of the coming kingdom of God. He did not come to force men to accept that message and act on it. He just came to announce it." So that should give us a better idea of what God's work is supposed to be doing today. Not to force people to act, not to try to baptize people on the spot and say that they are saved, but just to deliver the message and allow God to work with the people he chooses. In fact, Christ only had 120 disciples at the end of his ministry. Obviously, if Christ were trying to save the world, 120 would be a dreadful failure. That's an even more proof that that's not what Christ was trying to do on earth. So for us to understand our purpose in God's work right now, just before the second coming of Jesus Christ, we actually have to understand quite a lot of church history. That's what I really enjoyed about this article from Mr. Stephen Fleury, and this will be in the show notes as well once this is put up as a podcast. But it really does go through all seven church eras, and specifically the sixth one under the physical leadership of the late Worldwide Church of God founder Herbert W. Armstrong. As Mr. Fleury shows in this article, the seven church eras, well, at least the first five before Mr. Armstrong came in the sixth church era, were small and scattered. These were groups of people far and wide, one here, a couple others there, and they were just scattered around the world because of persecution, because of a battle with a great false church for 1900 years. And that is how long it took for God to then bring Mr. Armstrong on the scene, and that's when everything really changed. So you can see more about those church eras in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. But under Mr. Armstrong, God's church got a lot bigger. It wasn't so small and scattered anymore. It actually consisted of over 100,000 members and 8 million Plain Truth magazine subscribers and 400 television stations around the world. The work also consisted of Mr. Armstrong visiting with hundreds of world leaders. So quite a difference here from the first five eras up to the sixth one, where really the size and scope and power of the work was just astronomically magnified. It's also important to note when we're talking about the subject of God's church, that the church is not trying to fix the world. The church is actually the start of a new world. There was a great sermon about this at the Feast of Tabernacles in Edmond last September, just basically giving us this analogy where God's church is one building and the world is another building. Now, the world is going to be this world building is going to be demolished, and then the church building is going to be erected on that same site. That's how you could really look at it. The church literally means called out ones. So these are people who are called to be separate from the world, but also trying to deliver a message to the world. The world is obviously very evil, and there are so many dreadful problems, even just two more mass shootings over the weekend. But it's not the purpose of God's church to try to fix the world as it is. That's why God's church doesn't get involved in politics or voting and things like that. The church is actually the start of a new world. And that's why things are so different in this church versus a lot of the other churches you'll find out there. But Mr. Armstrong, going back to what he did, he was the end time Elijah. He fulfilled a pivotal sign of the end time. We have a booklet by that title for free at thetrumpet.com. I'll probably be covering it this Friday on my other show, Trumpet Bookshelf, or the next Friday. This pivotal sign of the end time was that one man would come on the scene, and he would do really mainly two specific things. The first was that he would preach the gospel message around the world. That's in Matthew 24 and verse 14. The second thing Mr. Armstrong was going to do is restore all things to the church. And that's in Matthew 17, verses 10 through 11. Mr. Armstrong certainly did those things, and it does fit the description of the sixth era of God's church. You can see that in Revelation chapter 3, that Philadelphia era that had an open door, and it delivered a powerful message around the world. This message going around the world is a sign that Christ's return is very near. But it was only the sixth era of the church. There was still supposed to be a seventh era to come after it. Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, and then in 1989, his successor, I get that confused with predecessor sometimes, so I have to make sure I don't say that wrong. His successor began. So 1989 is when the Philadelphia Church of God started. Mr. Fleury writes here, and this is, again, going to be in the show notes, "From all of this, we can clearly see two things. One, we were not called just for salvation. If so, God would have certainly waited until after the return of Christ, when all will have an opportunity to be saved. Two, we were not called just to be trained as teachers to rule with Christ in the world tomorrow. If that were the only reason, God would have certainly called many more during the middle eras to be trained as teachers. Though growing in character and being trained to teach in the world tomorrow is vitally important to us and God, the primary reason for our calling now is to support the work." So that is really a power-packed couple of paragraphs there. He's saying that if God were just trying to save everybody right now, he actually would be doing that. He wouldn't just be calling a select few to support the work right now. It would literally be everybody right now. There has to be an even bigger purpose for those of us called out now, for those of us who are involved with this work and trying to deliver a warning message right now. It's not just about salvation. And also, he says, it's not just about being trained for that new world in the world tomorrow. Because if that were the case, then there would have been a lot more people called before that sixth era. So basically, you had Pentecost in the first era, AD 31, I believe it was. And that was 3,000 people being converted in one day. But then after that, a lot of persecution set in. There are very few people who were called to do the work or to be a part of God's church before that or after that for about 1,900 years. And then you have Mr. Armstrong and his work that just exploded around the entire world. And there were over 100,000 people. If it were really about just getting as many teachers as possible, God would have had plenty of people called in those other five eras too. So really it is about doing the work. That's what's so special about that sixth church era, the Philadelphia era under Mr. Armstrong. And then there's a seventh one. So the seventh one has to continue on that. Obviously preaching the gospel message around the entire world, as Mr. Armstrong absolutely did, would require many supporters and lots of resources. That's the reason for the church. Maybe you've never thought of the fact that the church isn't nearly as important as the work. God's work is the reason that God's church exists. So the church is basically called and converted members who attend services with the Philadelphia Church of God, but you also have co-workers and donors who contribute monetarily and with their prayers and support, and they are also a part of the work. And all together, we have a very specific job to do. We saw what Mr. Armstrong had to do, preach a gospel message around the world. This is a message of the coming kingdom. Mr. Armstrong was telling people that the first time Christ came wouldn't be the last time, that there would be another time where he would come in power and glory, and he would save the world in that at that time, which is still yet in the future. Mr. Armstrong was proclaiming that message. He made a tremendous impact on every nation on earth. The message got through to every nation, and in many cases, it got through to the leaders of those nations. It was a powerful witness to all of them. And Mr. Armstrong also restored all things to God's church. That means that there were vital truths that God's church for 1,900 years had basically lost. They were persecuted. They were scattered. They were fleeing for their lives for thousands of years. And after a while, you know, it's kind of hard to keep track of all those teachings. A lot of people fell away from the truth. The truth got changed when it shouldn't have, and Mr. Armstrong had to get all that back on track. I mentioned that booklet earlier, A Pivotal Sign of the End Time, that we'll be covering on Trumpet Bookshelf pretty soon. But this actually enumerates 18 restored truths. So again, Mr. Armstrong was in the sixth era of the church. There's a seventh era to come after it, and you would think that that seventh era would try to build on what Mr. Armstrong did. Mr. Armstrong completed his job. No longer is the church's job to preach a gospel around the world. That's a secondary part of it, but that's not the primary purpose anymore, because Mr. Armstrong finished that. It's not to restore all things to the church, because Mr. Armstrong did all that. There are actually 18 specific restored truths in this booklet. And so obviously God's church today has to have those truths. So many of these other churches that split off from the Worldwide Church of God basically changed the numbering of these truths, or they combined two points into one at different points. And they really did obscure a lot of the valuable information that God revealed to his church through Mr. Armstrong. But God's church today, which supports God's work, has all 18 of these truths. You've got truth about the true gospel announcing the coming kingdom, like I just said. Most churches today believe that the kingdom is in your heart, or that you are literally already born again if you just say you believe in Christ. That's very far off from the truth. God's church knows the truth about that. The purpose of God, the fact that man can become God. Most other churches would say that is blasphemy, and yet God's church says it's absolute fact, and it's something that we should prepare for every day. What about the holy days? How many Christian churches keep these annual holy days, these 7 annual observances? I can't think of any others. And the truths, the list goes on and on. The government of God, that's a really important one. That's something that Mr. Gerald Fleury has been talking about recently. All these other churches established different forms of government after Mr. Armstrong died. It's very clear in the Old Testament and the New Testament that God works through one man at a time. There's always one man who has a higher rank or more authority than all the others. But apparently, a lot of these other churches talked about the evils of one-man rule. They thought that, well, it's tyrannical if only one man is over the entire church. Basically, they were attacking Mr. Armstrong after he died. And yet, in one of those churches, the leader established more of a collegial form of government. He had like a board of elders that had the power to vote him out of his own church, and they did. So I think that's really almost all the proof we need that trying all these different forms of government is a total failure. There's truth about who and what God is. Again, this is just all part of the 18 restored truths. These are all truths that the Philadelphia Church of God holds fast to today, and then more and more truth is just built on top of them. And we'll get into those 18 restored truths in more detail probably this Friday on Trumpet Bookshelf again. So Mr. Armstrong preached the gospel of the coming kingdom around the entire world, and he restored all of these vital truths to the church. These truths also included family. He fulfilled a role of turning the hearts of the children to their fathers and the hearts of the fathers to their children. You can see that in Malachi 4. Verses 5 through 6. So God's work today follows that example of building families. Philadelphia Youth Camp just ended recently. We have the Imperial Academy, Herbert W. Armstrong College, the new Child Rearing with Vision book that you can get at thetrumpet.com. A lot of focus on family. Every problem that you see in society today is a result of family breakdown. It always gets back to that. Isn't that amazing when the family isn't done right, when the roles aren't met there? The problems just really abound. Mr. Armstrong was a family man, and he inspired the rest of the church to do that. And so that's why there's such a focus on family in God's church and in God's work today. But again, Mr. Armstrong finished those jobs. So that's why the primary focuses of the church today are not to preach the gospel around the world or to restore all things to the church. Here's what Mr. Fleury writes in this article, and this is just showing how things have changed, the commissions have changed. He says here, is there any doubt as to the main objective or commission of the Philadelphia Church of God today? Do we understand what our work is? We know how important it is to support the right work. Then we must determine where that work is today and who is carrying it out. Some people ask, why can't the Philadelphia Church of God join with the Global Church of God, since they both left the WCG and both pretty much believe the same thing? Because there are vast differences between the PCG and Global Church. Could say the same thing about any of the other churches that came from the WCG. They don't believe Mr. Armstrong fulfilled these specific prophecies. They therefore have a completely different work. They are trying to do much of what Mr. Armstrong has already done. They're basically trying to repeat the work of the sixth era, even though it is now the seventh era of the church. Another quote here. This is from Mr. Armstrong in the May 1974 Good News. And this just reiterates the importance of putting the work first. God's work is a work of giving. In 40 years, I have observed that only those whose hearts are in this great work are themselves growing spiritually. And then Mr. Fleury writes, commenting on that, "Now can we see why supporting the work is the most important reason we have been called today? Because if we are supporting the right work, we will be building the divine character necessary to be taught and trained to rule with Christ as teachers in the coming kingdom of God." So if we put the work ahead of our own personal growth, the personal growth naturally comes from that. That's why we don't always just focus on getting into the kingdom or getting saved or anything like that, which is what you'll hear from basically every other church, because it's about fulfilling our purpose. The only reason some of us are called to support the work today is just for that purpose, just for that reason, to support the work. It's not about being more special than anybody else or about having special privileges. It's literally just about fulfilling our purpose. And as Mr. Fleury shows in this article, the focus of the work has shifted in this seventh era to warning God's church. After Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, 95% of all the people turned away and 99% of all the ministers. So they need a warning. They need to be shown with a lot of love, but also firmness that there is a punishment coming and that it's time to wake up. And it's also important to warn the entire world right now. That's another thing that the seventh era of the church does. And again, the church really just exists to support the work or to support God's purpose for us in this age. So warning the church, warning the world right now. The world has already had the gospel proclaimed to all of them. And now they need to be warned about taking action if they want to escape coming punishment. So I just thought this was a really interesting article. You can see so many fruits of God's work and just the fact that Mr. Armstrong's legacy is upheld in this church today, that the government structure is right, that the fruits of the work are incredible with all of the magazines, the literature, the TV programs, the radio, the college campuses, both here and in England. You have dig projects over in Judah. There's so many miracles that take place in the lives of God's people with healing and finances. And all of these things are just proof that God is working among us today, and he's really the one who is inspiring this great work. So I've just been talking about some proofs of God's work today, and I'll leave that article from Mr. Stephen Fleury in the show notes. Really, really powerful stuff about supporting the right work, realizing there's one true church, realizing that the church isn't trying to fix the world, but eventually replace the world, understanding the differences in commissions between the different church eras, understanding how the seventh era builds upon the sixth era, and also knowing that the church itself is not all important, except in that it has to support God's work. So this has been another episode of Behind the Work today. I'm Grant Turgeon. Thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.